that Sunday, and we didn't get around to it, and I'm glad that it was done tonight. And Brother Jake, thank you for singing as well, and I thank you once again for being here and being in your place tonight. All right, we got to move quickly, so we'll read the whole chapter there. It's only 8 verses, and we'll get right into it tonight. All right, the Bible says that this is a psalm that is written by David to the chief musician upon Neganah. All right, and that is simply a stringed instrument in the harp family. So basically, David not only wrote this song, but David put the music to it with a stringed instrument. And it was written to the chief musician. Verse number 1, David writes, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed." I'll read that again. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed." We'll come back to that. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." By the way, he wasn't talking about Saul right there. "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." David is writing here out of a heart, I believe, that is overwhelmed. David's writing in the time period, according to verse number 6 and verse number 7, we would put him as king when he writes this psalm. So this is not a shepherd boy, nor is this a fugitive from Saul that is writing this psalm. This is the king of Israel that is writing a psalm, and in that psalm he makes a statement that at times his heart is overwhelmed. I was talking to somebody just today and had this thought in my head, and they were had this sermon in my head, and they were talking to me about a difficulty and an affliction, a situation that they're dealing with right now in their life. And it was, how many of you has ever gotten a text, and it's one text, and before you even get to open it, there's another one, and then another one, and then another one, another one. And that's how it went off on my phone. And as I looked at it, it was just somebody that was completely overwhelmed by the situation that they were going through at that moment. And I thought to myself, thank you, Lord, for one, thank you, Lord, for letting me know in a subtle way that this is what you wanted tonight. But I also thought, how many more people are living a life that is overwhelmed? We become, can I say this and not make anybody mad? We get overwhelmed pretty easy nowadays. I mean, if you go through life in general, life is a lot more fast-paced than it was back in most of our earlier days. And I can remember sitting on a porch in a rocking chair. There's something special about a rocking chair to me, because I sat in a rocking chair next to my grandfather. And I sat in a rocking chair next to my grandmother. I sat in a rocking chair next to my parents when things were a little more simpler, when people drove by and honked the horn and waved out at you. When the afternoon, man, everybody looked forward to 4 o'clock in the afternoon because we were going to eat a icicle, one of them ice pops. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you didn't have no ice cream, but we had them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What did they call them, Michelle? Them, what did they call them? Somebody tell me. No, it ain't a push-up. Y'all know what I'm talking about, huh? Or whether that sounds good to me, a popsicle, all right? We grew up in a time where it was a lot slower pace. Now we're living in a time where people are working themselves to death. Amen. Then they're running home and grabbing youngins and running themselves to death. Amen. Yeah, it's amazing to me. We're in a gas crisis, and we got people driving $100,000 vehicles, running them all over town to get their youngin to every ball game that ever was. We got them playing soccer. We got them playing baseball. We got them playing football. We got them playing basketball. We got them doing everything in the world that we weren't able to do as kids, right? And we think we're doing them a service, and all we're doing is overwhelming them. The devil has got us so busy that any hiccup is overwhelming. Come on, y'all, help me now. We come to church and we act like we got it all together. We act like everything's going good when the fact is that things probably aren't going real good for you right now in some area of your life. It might be your finances. It might be your family. It might be your job. It could be something else that you're going through. It could be something that you're looking forward at in the future that's fixing to come, and you're worried. It could be something that happened in the past, and you're having to relive the memories of it. And oftentimes in our life, we become overwhelmed. If the king could be overwhelmed, then I guess we could be overwhelmed too. The king, you would think that he'd have everybody else doing everything that he needed done. He wouldn't have to do anything but sit around and be fanned and fed grapes. I need somebody to say amen. But apparently, David had issues. And he writes here that his heart is overwhelmed. He writes in Scripture and other places in Psalms that his heart was overwhelmed, or he became overwhelmed. So as we look at this tonight in context, let me just tell you a little background here. I believe, and it's not stated here, but I believe this was, and most commentators, most Bible scholars believe that this was when Absalom had overthrew David. And David was running for his life and had to leave the city, had to leave and get out. And matter of fact, David ended up across on the east side of Jordan in the territory that was given to the tribe of Gad. And he was staying with a man who was taking care of him while his son had wooed the people of Israel and had turned them against David and was seeking David's life. Now, before you feel sorry for David, the fact of the matter is David was dealing with this because of sins that David had committed in his life, and the curse that was on his family was because of David and his adultery with Bathsheba and his killing of Uriah the Hittite. So let's not, I do feel sorry for David because he was overwhelmed, but David also recognized the fact that many of these things that David was dealing with was of his own making, all right? But I was interested in the phrase, I was interested in the thought, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And when I know in my life often, and probably will be tomorrow or the next day, will come across a situation in my life where I am overwhelmed. Maybe tonight you're overwhelmed. Maybe tonight something's going on that you haven't shared with anybody. There's people that are going through things in this church that they have shared with me that they don't want public. And while you sit here and it's easy for you to praise the Lord, or you sit here and it's all, you just, your life is great right now, their life, they're in the middle of a storm, and a great big storm at that. And sooner or later, you may be privy, you may be allowed to be to have knowledge of what they're going through. But you need to know this, not everybody that sits in church and smiles has got it all together. There's a lot of things that we deal with that we don't want anybody else to know about. There's a lot of things that we've learned how to suppress. Am I talking to anybody tonight? A lot of things that we've learned, if we let somebody in on it, it'll show our weakness. And we would rather everybody think that we're strong and we have it all together than to let somebody believe that maybe we ain't got it all figured out. And our life ain't nearly as put together as it may seem on a Sunday morning, or on a Sunday night, or on a Wednesday night. Folks are literally putting on a facade. And the hypocrisy that I worry about in the church is not somebody living in sin and coming in here and putting on a show. Because the fact of the matter is that all of us have sins, and we tend, come on now, I need somebody to help me. We tend to put all of them off when we come into church. Can't talk to somebody for 5 minutes without cussing, but you can sit in church for an hour and a half and not say one cuss word. Don't be groaning, man. I know who you are, all right? Y'all be careful. We know how to do that, but the fact is everybody knows how to do that, and I've said this 100 times. We live with hypocrites in every facet of our life, including our own house and our own mirror while we look in it, right? But the hypocrisy that I'm more worried about is the one that is so much pride that I won't even admit that I'm going through a struggle. So much pride and worried about what somebody else might think about us that we keep ourselves away from the very help that we need that'll get us through it. The church is, can I say this? The church is not a bunch of perfect people. If you come to church tonight and you're expecting a bunch of perfect people, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, they ain't none of this crowd perfect. I know all of you, and they ain't none of you. Not one, even the missionary that drove in tonight looking all pretty, he ain't perfect, I guarantee you, all right? I could find a fault with him in just a few moments. He probably don't even know nothing about football. That's strike one. So ain't none of us perfect, all right? But if you're looking for a perfect church, you ain't going to find one. I found that out early. I thought this was a perfect church, and I found out this was straight out of hell. I'm not. Is everybody all right? What was it in Revelation where Jesus was talking to one of the churches, and he said that you literally exist in the seat of Satan? I can relate. This is rough. It's not a perfect church. I thank God it ain't what it used to be, but it ain't a perfect church. And you'll not find a perfect person. So when you come in here, know this, no matter what you're going through, the people that are sitting around you, no matter how much pride they have suppressing it, they're going through some of the same difficulties that you do. So what do I do, preacher? How do I make it through an overwhelming times? You know, the times are overwhelming. Brother Jesse mentioned no gas. And man, the media and our government has figured out that fear is the way to keep us controlled. And what you've seen this week is a perfect example of that. They put something out there about a pipeline being shut down and a gas shortage. And idiots was up here putting 30 gallons of gas in the back of their truck. Is everybody all right? I told Brother David Brill, I seen a 70-year-old man filling up 6 to 8 gas cans in the back of his truck. For what? You saving up gas so you can make it to the Waffle House for your coffee? You're retired. You ain't doing, is everybody all right? What are you going to do with all that gas? I hope every blessed bit of it goes bad before he's able to use it. I hope, never mind. I felt like we was back in the toilet paper crisis. Amen. They kept us in fear about masks. Y'all do realize it's been over a year. That mask, if you'll remember, we were supposed to shut down for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. It's been over a year. And they're telling you to get a vaccine and wear 2 masks and you might be able to spend time with your family on July the 4th. Is everybody all right? Overwhelming times, man. Israel's under attack right now. And not a peep from our government. The only thing that's come out from our government is Muslim terrorists trying to get President Biden to declare Israel's defense a terroristic act. And nobody has a problem with that. Man, we're living in overwhelming times. So how do we get through it, preacher? I'm glad you asked. We got to hurry because I got to get y'all out of here in about 15 minutes, and I got a lot. I noticed first off a cry that was rehearsed. David said, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." We see a cry rehearsed. It's occasion. We see, once again, David is overwhelmed. We see its fervency. David said, from the end of the earth. I believe David felt like he was as far away from God as he could possibly be, running from his son Absalom. On the other side, on the east side of the Jordan River, as far as he could possibly be away from the city of Jerusalem, as far as he could possibly be away from the tabernacle, in his mind, David was at the end of the earth. David was overwhelmed. And his cry that he rehearsed, its occasion, he was in trouble. He was overwhelmed. Its fervency from the end of the earth. Its audience, he cried unto God. Unto thee. Has everybody got that? Verse number 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I'm not asking you to cry unto me. I'm not asking you to listen to me. We talked about being overwhelmed, and we talked about how pride will keep you overwhelmed and it'll keep that suppressed and you won't open up. But the last thing you need to do is to go tell all your problems to everybody in the church. The last thing you need to do is start dialing up contacts in your phone and letting them know. What you and I need to do is go to the one and the only one that can help us when we are overwhelmed. Why is it that God is a last resort when you and I are overwhelmed? Why is it that He is the last phone call that we make? You'll call everybody in the world that can't help you out, everybody in the world that's just as overwhelmed as you, and try to get advice for how you can get over feeling overwhelmed. How can I overcome being overwhelmed? But the person you're talking to is overwhelmed, and they haven't figured out how to overcome being overwhelmed. And so we sit in a big old pity party wondering why we can't ever get over what is over us. Because we're not going to the right places. You need to be calling on God. This is a time for you to cry out unto God. David said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Listen, David wasn't just saying, I'm going to say a little prayer at midnight to you. David wasn't saying, I'm just going to bow my head and say, hey God, I need you to work this situation out. When you see the wording, hear my cry, from the end of the earth will I cry, David is shouting out. David is crying out with a loud voice, with fervency. He's crying unto the Lord, I need you. And hey, you're the only one that can help me. Right now, David in this song, David don't even know who he can trust. His own son is after him and wants to kill him. He doesn't even know who he can trust of those that are around him. And David is crying out to the one person that he can trust, saying, God, I need you to hear my prayer. Tonight, We need to get our mind, we need to switch audiences. We need to stop with the pity parties, and we need to go to the one that can help us. There was a cry that was rehearsed. Have you cried out to him tonight? Number two, there was a confidence restored. I like this. Somewhere in the middle of this, David, he started off crying out to the Lord. But it ain't it just like David. Somewhere in the middle of his crying out to the Lord, David starts remembering what all God's already done. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to brag about what God's done if you on the phone with Matilda. I need somebody to help me. I couldn't think of a good gossip name, but I figured that one's about the best I could do. Ain't nobody named Matilda, is there? Hey, we'll get on the phone. Hey, listen here. We'll get on the phone and we'll get to talking to everybody, telling everybody about our problems. And the last person that we're even interested in is God. But ain't it amazing how when you and I get in the presence of God, in our prayers with God, how God reminds us of some things that he's done. And David said, hey, I'm going to cry unto the end of the earth. Will I cry unto thee? And then he says for verse number three, for thou hast been a shelter for me. Have y'all noticed? Do y'all notice that that thing's in the past tense? For thou hast been a shelter for me. See, David wasn't asking God to be a shelter for him then. He was trusting that because God was a shelter for him back in his past, that he would do the same now. And David said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You can go through David's life. You can go all the way back to when he was out in the field as a shepherd, and you can see God protect him from a lion. You can see God protect him from a bear. You can go back and you see God protect him as he went out and fought Goliath. You can see God protect him as the king of Israel tried to kill him and stick him to a wall. You can see God over and over again protecting David in the very caves that Saul was hiding out in. God was showing David that he was a shelter and he was a strong tower from the enemy. For David. And let me tell you something. You're not going to get a hold of that on the phone. You ain't going to get a hold of that hooked up to AT&T or Verizon. But if you will get hooked up with God in prayer, God will remind you of some times where you thought you were going to go under, where you thought this was the end, where you thought you couldn't go on anymore, and God showed up and protected you through it. That's what David had a confidence. His confidence was restored. Why? Because he cried out to God. Listen here, you want to get over what's overwhelming you, you better go to the one and the only one that can fix it. David said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Verse number four, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. He said, I'm going to trust in the covering. God, if you cut, oh, is everybody all right? Did y'all get that? I know I skipped a little bit of that verse, but I want you to get to this point here. He said, you have been a shelter. You have been a strong tower, and I will trust you to cover me now. Had some confidence. Had some confidence. Old King found some confidence in a prayer room. Old King found some confidence in the presence of God, crying out unto God when he was overwhelmed at his wit's end at the end of the earth. He talked about his confidence was restored because of God's previous provisions. His confidence was restored because of God's previous protections. His confidence was restored because of God's previous prayers answered. He says this in verse number five, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Once again, he's talking past tense. He didn't say you will hear me. He said you have heard me. In other words, David had confidence that God would continue to provide for him, to protect him, and to answer his prayers. And his previous pattern, man, this thing helped me. Y'all all right? He says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Most people read that and skip over it because that's the king's language. They don't understand what in the world he just said. What did he say? What does that mean? David's saying this, not only have you provided for me, not only have you protected me, not only have you answered my prayers. He said, but I can look back in history. I can look back at those that have gone on before me. I can look back at those who held up the standard before I came and know that you protected them. That's that heritage. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Now, all David wasn't talking about his own life then. He was talking about those that had gone on before him. David was talking about how God had protected Abraham. David was talking about how God had taken care of Jacob. How God had taken care of Joseph. And he went on and on. He could go back and see how God had done a great work in Job's life when Job was overwhelmed and when Job thought it was the end. And yet God showed up in chapter number 42 and gave everything back to the man and some. David said, man, I got a heritage of those that fear thy name. I can look back all through history and see how you've protected those that trust in you. He had a cry rehearsed, a confidence restored, and lastly, a commitment resolved. Oh, I'm fixing to lose some of y'all. Y'all ready? A commitment resolved. A commitment resolved. David says, okay, I'm going to cry out to God. And he didn't do it like that. He's screaming out to God. He's overwhelmed. He's in a place that's overwhelming. And he's screaming out to God. He's hollering out to God. He's crying out to God. And in the middle of that prayer, God moves in. And God starts reminding him of how he's protected him in the past. God starts reminding him of those saints that have gone on before him. God starts letting David know that, hey, you ain't no different than them. You got the same, you got a heritage that precedes you. So David said, you know what? I'm going to commit myself, listen, to your hands. A commitment resolved. He says this in verse number 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle. He's not talking about past tense here. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle. David said this, I'm going to be in the right place. David said, I'm going to be in the right place. If you're going to get through overwhelming times, you're going to have to be in the right place. I need somebody to help. I need somebody to help me. Because just as much as we talked about, you don't need to be calling all your friends, you don't need counsel from the outside world. Where you need to be and find yourself is in the house of God. Every time the doors are open, every time the word of God is open, every time it is proclaimed, thus saith the Lord, you could get help, but you won't if you're not here. We got people all over. I mean, I got people call me up. Can I have an hour of your time? You sure can. I'm here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. You can have an hour of my time on Sunday morning. I'm here at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. You can have an hour of my time on Sunday morning. As a matter of fact, if you stick around for the end of the service, you'll be here about an hour and a half. Matter of fact, if you'll just come on a Sunday morning and stay until we leave, you can have 2.5 hours of my time. You can come back on Sunday night at 6:30 and have an hour of my time. You can come on a Wednesday night and have an hour to an hour and 30 minutes of my time. But if you're not willing to come and sit in here for an hour of my time, then don't call me on the phone asking me to give up an hour of my time when you're not even willing to be in your place. Is everybody all right? David said, I will abide in the tabernacle of the Lord. I'll be there. God, if you'll get me back to Jerusalem, if you'll set me back up on the throne, I won't miss a service. Ain't it amazing how when God gets us over our overwhelming time, you and I take off and run back to the very thing that overwhelmed us. I'm having fun preaching tonight. Hey, David said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. But that ain't all David said. David said this as he was talking about the king. He says, thou wilt prolong the king's life. He's talking about himself. And he says, in his years, as many generations, and he, the king, David, he shall abide before God forever. Not only did David say, I'm going to be in the right place, but I'm going to be in the presence of God. When I ain't, hey, is everybody all right? When I ain't at church, David said, I'm still going to walk before God. David said, hey, when I can't be at the tabernacle, I'm still going to be before God. Do you know that being a Christian is a lot more than just coming to services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You and I are to walk before this world Christ-like. The only way we're going to do that is to walk before God. David said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change some things. I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. I hope somebody's watching on Facebook. I hope you're mad right now. You probably done turned it off, but you needed to hear it. And I hope God messed up your computer where you had to hear it before you could turn it off. Never in my life. I'm going to go ahead and say something. Everybody all right? I'm tired of this. Got everybody on Facebook talking about, it ain't done. It's just too far away. It don't sound good. Come to church. I tell you what you can do. Why don't you donate $1 million and we'll make sure that your video experience is good. While you sit at home. Half some jokers that listen to that. Is everybody all right? I'm going to run off the whole Facebook crowd. Half of you log in just long enough to listen to the choir. Then you turn it off and think you've done your duty to God. Never my life. Boy, that's my favorite song, Brother Jake. That song's so good. Couldn't tell you nothing about the message because I didn't listen to it. Hey, amen. I'm not bitter about it. Hey, we're trying to do something so you can be involved in the church and all they can do is complain and murmur. Makes me think about is everybody all right? The Israelites couldn't never do anything good for them. God had to kill some of them. Let's move on to present himself. David made a commitment. He resolved to present himself. In the right place and in the presence of God. Is everybody all right? Stay with me. To perform his duty. To perform his duty. Now listen, this was good to me. I hope you like it. David said this. Verse number 4. After he said he was going to be in the right place, I will abide in the tabernacle forever. He said, I will trust in the covert or the covering of thy wings. David, his commitment, he resolved to trust in God no matter the outcome. I'm going to go over here and say it over here. Many of us are overwhelmed, and like the song she sang tonight, we want God to move mountains, we want God to part seas. Perfect song, Miss Melissa, perfect song. David said, no matter if you don't move the mountain, no matter if you don't part the sea, I will trust in you. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. You want to get over being overwhelmed? Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Trust God that whatever is the outcome of your situation is exactly what God wanted it to be. Put yourself in his hands and say, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's what David said. He said, I don't know anything about, I don't even know where to go. He said, but I trust you. God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The rock where you'll find safety. The rock where you'll find provision. The rock where you'll find salvation from your problem. The rock is still available. David said, I'll trust you. God, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And then David said this. David said, I'm going to be in the place that I'm supposed to be. And he says, I'm going to trust you, God. Is everybody all right? And he says this, so will I sing, in verse number 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Listen to this, that I may daily perform my vows. David said, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Some of you made all kind of commitments to God. You made all kind of promises to God of what you're going to do. And you overwhelmed right now. And God's saying, you want me to... This is just me talking. The last time you was in this predicament, you told me, I ain't never going to God if you get me out of this. I'll never miss church again, I promise. I don't care if I got COVID, I'm going to church. God, I don't care what happens. If my car breaks down, God, I'll walk to church. I'm going to be there, God. Now you're in another predicament. God said, I ain't seen you in 3 months. I'm going to give, God. I promise I'm going to give. I'm going to give because I've been robbing you, God. I'm going to give. Y'all didn't want that, did you? Everybody was shouting and hollering. Everybody was excited until the preacher started talking about money, and it got quiet. Got quiet. David said, I'm going to perform daily, perform my vows. What I told you I'd do, God, I'm going to do it. Is everybody all right? I'll move on. He made a commitment to present himself to God, to perform his duty to God, and to praise God. Verse number 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. David was overwhelmed. They said, I'm still going to praise you. I believe that our Christian maturity is linked, is everybody right? Please don't. Is linked in some way or another to our praise. Let me tell you why I think that. Because when everything's going good and everything's great, man, you'll stand in here, raise your hand, shout, holler. Praise God, give God glory for all the good things that go on in your life. But when something that you don't approve of happens, all of a sudden, we in some deep, dark depression. God is still God. God is still worthy. No matter how difficult your situation, it hasn't changed who He is. It ain't changed the fact that He is worthy of our praise. I don't care if I'm losing every single thing that I have. I don't care if the ground's opening up underneath me. God is still God. He's still worthy to be praised. And He still desires for you and I to glorify Him in every aspect of our life. Good or bad. Don't be claiming that God work all things together for my good if you can't praise Him in all things, whether they're good or not. Have a hard time believing that you're trusting God for His good when you can't praise God in your bad. When I'm overwhelmed, I'll cry out to God. When I'm overwhelmed, my crying out to God will bring confidence in Him. And my confidence in Him will bring more commitment out of me. She's coming to that piano and y'all are coming to the altar. Because some of you need to get off your stinking phone and get hooked up with God. Some of you need to cry out to Him and stop crying to Matilda. We're living in overwhelming times. Many of our hearts are overwhelmed. I'm thankful there's a rock that's higher than I. A place that I can abide forever. A presence that I can count on. A Savior, a God, Creator that I can trust. I've seen Him work in my past. I've seen Him answer my prayers. I've seen Him protect me. I've seen Him bring provisions to my family, and He'll do it again. I can go back to those that have gone before me in the Bible. I've got a heritage of men and women that's gone on before me that God has protected, provided for. Gives me confidence. God will do it again. God will do it for me. But if I expect God to do so much for me, how little of it is it to expect me to commit more to Him? To be in the right place. To perform the duty, do the right things. Do what I told Him I'd do. And to praise Him. For He is worthy. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, sure are thankful, Lord, for Your mercies. Lord, thankful for Your grace. I imagine that everybody in here has a testimony at some point in their life, and maybe even right now, being overwhelmed. Their problems are so big. God, I pray tonight that You'll help them to see that You're bigger. No matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through, God, may they tonight turn to You, cry out to You, trust in You, place their confidence in You. Lord, commit to You. Lord, we thank You for Scripture tonight that helps us to overcome being overwhelmed. God, I pray that we take the truths of tonight, apply them to our hearts, and mature in Christ and grow. Lord, may we surrender our lives as David did and just say, lead me, Lord. Wherever You lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Wherever it takes me, Lord, I trust You. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God, thank You for this time together tonight during the middle of the week. God, I pray it was an encouragement to those that come. Lord, I pray that You'd bring us back safely Sunday. Lord, that we can learn more of You.